Pressure Luck, the Broadway musical, will not be heard this time. Instead, let's talk about other big bucks at stake on the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we're not singing Broadway musicals, unlike, shall we say, what someone just wanted us to do.
I would have totally done it, by the way.
I know you would have. I can't sing.
He cannot sing. I can. I would have duetted with Chico, which still nobody wants to really hear. But
they're
we
lost.
Do
we're
have,
awesome.
We are. But let's talk about not Broadway, but off-Broadway, because things got very off-kilter. Once again, Survivor is doing a pattern that people are neglecting, and people are getting a little bit too comfortable there. People are getting very comfortable over in Top Chef because we're playing ball. Sort of, kind of. So, with all that being said, and we also have a toilet in case anybody really gets comfortable. Yeah, I went there. Anyway, for Chico and Jason, this is Gordon. Let's start this up. Chico, on you.
From somewhere in America, the world's strongest game show podcast, WLTI, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
We have three of a kind, as this is episode 444 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and just hoping everyone is enjoying at least a couple of days of the warm weather. Gentlemen, how are you?
It is still raining outside. Or is that the Army base? I have no idea what it is. Anyway. But okay. Yeah, if you're caught in the weather, we hope you're listening. We hope you're safe. We hope you're hunkered down. We hope you're okay. You're healthy. You're doing well.
And we hope you don't do what Venus did on Survivor with her immunity idol.
Oh, we're going there first.
Stop me if you've heard this one. Stop me if you've heard this one, folks. I have an immunity idol in my pocket. I do not use it. I get voted out.
That's the third week in a row, if I am not mistaken.
I believe
this.
It's the fourth, actually.
From Kevin?
So it's been the fifth time this season that someone has got it voted out with an idol in their pants. Not five times in a row, but five times. And, Venus didn't have it when the episode started, but after we started playing Recycling the Idols, Venus decided to look for one, and oh baby, she's got it.
Right. So she's got it. She thinks she's safe. Okay. So let us
she's got it.
Very good. Now, this, we'll put it to you this way, but she wasn't the one who made it a cruel summer, you see. Anyway, I'll explain what I mean in a minute.
That was a shocking pun that you just gave.
Yes, right? I gotcha. Right, shocking blue.
Anyway.
So we get to the reward. We get to the reward challenge, okay? And the reward challenge is that you had to take a ball, balance it on a pole, and then go through a series of obstacles, and then get more length to make your pole even longer. Power pole extend. Dragon Ball reference. Anyway.
I got that.
So then you put the ball on the extended pole and get on this balance beam, and then get to this snake maze. The first person to get there gets reward and gets a pizza party. Now,
so basically, what you're telling me is that you need to balance your balls and lengthen your pole and then tame your snake.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely quote well.
I was going to make a reference to the aggravating maze. Gordon just beat me with that.
Okay.
So So yeah, you got immunity and a pizza reward if you win. The winner was Maria.
Venus had at least three or four chances. She missed all of them. And it went down to Maria. Okay. Now Maria wins. Fine. She picked she picks Ben first.
She picked Ben first. And then
Charlie says, I'm out. Okay. So then, in my opinion, one of the cruelest things I've ever seen on Survivor, Maria says, okay, Q, Liz, and, Liz and Venus, tell me why you should have the pizza. Now, she was basically emotionally abusing Q, Liz, and Venus, in my personal opinion, and then makes Q and Liz play rock, paper, scissors. Bleep you. Q wins. I'm sorry. If I were the tribe at that point, I would have gone 5-1 Maria, and I would have been screaming all day to take her out. I would have been loud. I would have basically blew up everybody's game and tell her that she's a piece of crap and a piece of human garbage for what she did with that. Moving on.
And let's make a mental note here. If Q manages to win Survivor, it's because he brought Maria with him. And they remember Maria doing that.
Yep. I mean, that is one of those moves where you look back and see where they lost it. This might be where Maria lost it.
Maria lost the $1 million right here. I hope. Do you agree with me on that? If it goes that far?
I do.
I'm asking you, Gordon. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. Because now she's turned into persona non grata. And it almost doesn't matter who she brings along because she did something worse than what Q did. At least Q was delusional, but at least he's still playing a decent delusional game. Like, he hasn't really ticked anybody off. He's just delusional. This was unnecessary. And if you're going to edit that in there, you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
That will come back to bite her very, very hard.
Oh, and by the way, it was Kenzie, not Venus. My apologies for that.
Yeah, and the
it was
thing
Kenzie.
It is, it's like the core four that are like forming this voting block. Half of them are Q and Maria. The other half is Ben and Charlie. Mm-hmm. So how is this going to end up, I wonder?
Oh, and by the way, that was my apologies. That was the immunity challenge as well. So Maria won immunity, right? So they were going, and then Q was proposing that he and the Sega 3 vote out Venus, while those out of the reward touted Q. Venus told Charlie she had something up her sleeve, which made him very wary of trusting her. Duh. And then, of course,
and that would be the move that would eliminate Venus from the game, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with the other move, which is, I think I'm safe because I have something up my sleeve. Not if you telegraph it, no.
No, you don't. And the fact is that she should have said nothing and then let it go. Okay.
She should have said, woe is me, I know I'm leaving.
Yeah,
and then
right,
the island.
Right on. Exactly. So again, the gameplay
especially because you knew you were not on the side of the vote on the last tribal council.
No. And honestly, I am going to say this, and I will say this again, and I said it last week. No one in this tribe deserves to win the $1 million. They are all playing.
Oh, no, I disagree. No. I disagree with you there. There's people that definitely deserve to win, just not the people that are getting voted out.
Yeah, it's like there are a lot of people
I would say this way. There are people that deserve to win. The people that are getting voted out deserve to lose.
Yes. Yep. I agree with that. Yeah, but again, we will see what happens because we are now down to six, right?
And I believe I actually think Charlie is playing a fantastic game.
Yeah, we'll see if you say that next week, because if the scenes from the next episode are any indication, he's going to have a very important choice to make. And who knows, he might be the one whose head is on the block because of it.
Well, I mean, when you're down to the number of people that you're down to, I mean, no one's safe. Everybody right now, especially this season, everybody's head is on the block.
Yeah, exactly.
And Rob Mariano's head is clearly on the block on Deal or No Deal Island. Because he may have eliminated himself from the game.
Yeah. Correct. Rob, you did a bad. Very bad thing.
All right, go ahead.
In a gigantic maze, you have two sets of cases. The lower the case amount, they're all unmarked, by the way, the lower the case amount, the easier it is to get at. And the higher the case amount, the harder it is to get at. You can have some help by getting a map to the maze if you can answer one question. And this is important because
the last player who left the maze was out.
Is eliminated, and in addition to that, whoever has the lowest case is also eliminated.
Thank you.
So, and that will consist of your final two, which we'll find out about, and your champion, which we'll find about next week.
Yes. However, you can have some help in the form of a map to the maze. All you have to do is answer one question. How many cases total were brought to the temple during your stay on Deal or No Deal Island?
And I have the number since I'm looking at it from the recap. It is 75.
Amy was the first to get that answer. She's the first to get a map. And inside the maze, she's targeting low-value cases. She knows she's not a fast runner. She wants to get out of the maze as soon as possible. I get that. Mm-hmm. But then, Rob did something that he did on Survivor, and nobody called him for it. This is not Survivor. That's not that game. If you do something like this on Deal or No Deal Island, Joe's going to ding you for it. And sure enough.
What did he do?
Bob looked at Amy's podium for the answer. Joe stopped the competition, thinking that, was like, Rob was thinking, well, I thought it was okay to look at somebody else's answer. And Joe was like, no, it's not. So,
okay, I call Mupu. I call Mupu. I call Mupu. I think that is what we call fudging the rules a little bit. Because on Survivor, they do it all the time. And I don't know if the rules were explained or not. So, I have an issue with this. Out of many issues, of course.
May I play the cynical bastard hat?
Sure. Oh, please do. Please do.
If I'm a producer, this is the best way to get Rob Mariano out of this game on a technicality. Ending him long enough. And I also call Mupu because you better believe the contestants would have been very briefed on what they can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, yeah, looks a little
Okay.
Okay.
If you wanted to stop Rob Mariano for winning another reality TV show, that would not be a bad way to do it.
That would be a way to do it.
Or again, if you feel that maybe he was, let's just say, a special advisor to get ratings numbers, that would be also a good way for him to be eliminated and not have standards and practices show up, allegedly. So basically, Jordan and Stephanie go in, get what they need, get out. The episode finishes with a foot race between Amy and Boston Rob, and if you look at the editing really well, there's a really good chance that Amy will win. Boston Rob gets eliminated right there.
Okay.
Which is why you had a to be continued at that point.
You do have a to be continued.
And there will be more about Deal or No Deal Island, what, in the business end, I believe?
There will be more Deal or No Deal Island in the business end, but more on that momentarily. Right now, we go from a game of millions to a game of masters, because we have four more games to talk about with our six Jeopardy masters. Let's talk about the games that started on Monday. Game one featured...
Excuse me, but before you do that, you have to introduce it correctly, sir.
Oh, yeah. I am a dummy. Johnny, help me out here.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
You gotta give your man, his props.
Right. Okay. In game one, we have Matt Amodio, Matea Roach, and James Holzhauer. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Matt has 12,000 after going all in on a daily double. And James has 68, Matea has 12. However, James goes all in twice and gets it twice. Okay. And by the way, I have to talk to you. One of the categories in this Double Jeopardy rounds was nasty, but I loved it. It was called the Responses GPA. That was a killer category.
Yeah,
very well done.
As an explainer of how that category works, each response is a series of letters that would average out to the GPA we give you, the grade point average.
Like, for example, the $400 question was Lazarus Nationals makes creams and gummies out of it. The GPA was 2.0. It was CBD. Okay? And, okay. So, James has a lock game, but let's play it through. The final Jeopardy category is 20th Century Leaders. The clue. One of the big four at the 1919 Paris Peace Conference, a former journalist, he supported the Impressionist at Alfred Dreyfus. I knew which country he was from. I didn't know the name. I was like, the French guy. The French guy.
You are correct, Jason. It is indeed a French guy.
Who is the French guy?
Well, he was the Prime Minister of France at the time.
Clemenceau, but who did you have, Gordon?
I had Jean-Pierre Clouseau.
Ah, very good.
He gets the bottom of it.
Right. So James gets three, Matt gets one, and Matea gets none, but at that moment, then we move to the second game, Chico.
Yeah, second game with Amy in third position, Yogesh in second, and the Queen in first. And at the end of the Jeopardy round, the Queen has 12,400, Yogesh has 5,000, Amy has 6. And Victoria locks it away by betting all in on a daily double in the middle of the round. She has 41,000. To Yogesh's 11,800 and Amy's 10,200. Let's play it out. Final Jeopardy category, 20th Century Writers. The clue. Becoming a British subject in 1927, he described himself as a classicist in literature, royalist in politics, and Anglo-Catholic in religion.
This was tough, but when I found it out, pretty cool. Who is T.S. Eliot?
Gordon?
I had who is E.T.'s Eliot. E.T.
Awful. Well, let's see. Amy got it right. Yogesh got it right. Victoria didn't need to get it right, so she has 6. Yogesh has 4. Amy has 0 going into Wednesday's game. That's tonight, actually.
Yeah.
We had Amy, Matt, and Yogesh with a special help from Michael Douglas, who gave us some clues about Hollywood history with generations of families. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Yogesh had 54, Matt had 22, Amy had 46. At the end of Double Jeopardy, Yogesh locks it again. But the category is the theater. The clue. This show debuted on December 30th, 1879 in a theater on the Devon coast with the cast in costumes from a related show. Now, I should have gotten it from the Devon coast, but I didn't. But I do know what it is, I believe. I believe it is the Pirates of Penzance from Gilbert. Right.
You believe correctly.
And of course, Ken said, I believe they borrowed costumes from the other piratic show, HMS Pinafore.
Yes.
Gordon? So.
I'm sorry?
What did you have?
Well, I actually had the what is the HMS Picado?
that's the Sullivan's version.
After that game, Yogesh has 7, Matt and Amy have 1 apiece.
Right. Finally, Amy gets on the board and she can shut up the Twitter trolls, you know.
There's no shutting up the Twitter trolls. You know this, man.
Oh, yes. And then we have, what do we have in the final? Right.
James and Victoria in the second game. At the half, it's Victoria, 6,000, James and Matea, 1,400 apiece. And for the first time in this 4-game stretch, it is still anybody's game. Victoria has 29,600. James has 17,600. Matea has 7,000. Wagering will become very important shortly as we go into Final Jeopardy with the category Famous Last Words. The clue. In 1530, he made his last confession and wished that, quote, I had served God as diligently as I have done the king, end quote.
Who is LeBron James's valet? I had no idea. What I really did say was, who was Thomas A. Beckett? But I was in the right area, kind of.
You were in the right area. You had the wrong guy. Right. Gordon, do you have the right guy?
Well, I actually really thought the person was really serving the king, which is who is Anne Boleyn.
That was a he.
Servicing the king. She was servicing the king.
Allegedly. Anyway, allegedly. Everybody got this one wrong.
Yeah, they all had the right idea, though. Yeah, it was a big case of right track, wrong train. Everybody had Thomas More. It was his predecessor, Cardinal Wolsey. He could not get Henry VIII out of his marriage to Catherine of Aragon. And if Keith
from the Tudors, of
he
course.
He would have so much to say about this.
Yes, I would, yes. But Victoria now has 9 match points. James has 5. Matea has 1. What are the scores?
After the 3 episodes, Victoria leads with 9 points. Yogesh has 7. James has 5. Everybody else has 1.
Now, I have a question for you, Gordon. And this is sort of something I had with Chico here. Is recency bias here like, because Victoria and Yogesh are doing so well, do they have a quote-unquote unfair advantage or no?
No.
Okay.
I mean, everybody has the same carrier. Everybody still has to play it. You know, recency bias or not recency bias, that really doesn't affect the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Okay. And the second question. Is this Victoria's to lose?
No. I think she's got to work for it, but I don't think it's Victoria's to lose. It's way too early.
Okay. But again, we will have...
Because you got to remember, at this point, all you want to do is to make it to the playoffs.
That's right.
And then the slate is wiped away. So it's you know, sort of like any sports event. You know, you got the Bulls. Is it the Bulls to lose? Sure. But it doesn't really matter. Is it Boston Celtics to lose in the NBA? Sure. As of right now, except if they can't beat Cleveland, it doesn't matter. So there's still a long way to go on this. So no, I don't think it's anybody's to lose at this point. Again, all you want to do is just make the playoffs.
But I will say that when we come back, we will have not one, but not two, but three episodes to recap. As we have six, we're gonna have six games to play. Correct, I believe.
You are correct. Right?
Okay.
You are.
So
correct.
Let us go. We're not going. Yes, and then we're going to the home of Riri. Not my sister's cat, Rita. We're talking Rihanna, as in Barbados, okay? So the teams flew from Uruguay, Montevideo, to Bridgetown, which is the capital of Barbados, okay? They departed from the Chamberlain Bridge, and they had to drive the next clue in the neighborhood of Failfield, and they get a roadblock, okay? One team member had to play road tennis and score 11 points to receive their next clue, where teams had to go to Rihanna's home. Who knew? Okay. And find their next clue, which they had to drive to Long Bay Beach in Christchurch. Okay. And then they had to do seaweed clearing or fish pot building. In seaweed cleaning, they had to clear the beach of enough invasive sargassum seaweed to fill a barrel to receive their next clue. In fish pot building, they had to construct a fish pot using tamarind sticks and wire mesh in order to receive their next clue. They received a postcard to go to Hastings Rocks. Okay. Now, the winner yet again was...
This is after they were lost to start with. Who knew?
Yeah. Ricky and Cesar, fifth win in a row.
It's their fifth win, but it is not in a row.
Right. However, we had an issue. Angie made an illegal turn on a roundabout to the detour, and they got separated from their camera operator and audio technician. Okay. And what happened was that they, in a post-race interview, they were shown that they were unable to begin a task until the crew arrived. But what happened was the crew never showed up at the detour and couldn't be located, and they were permitted to continue racing with a substitute camera crew. Now, I have a question for you on that. Is that a re-invitable offense or no? Or do you think, oops, poop happens?
Yes.
Well, yes and no. I think here's the issue. The issue that you have is twofold. Number one, obviously, technically, if you lost your crew, then, yeah, you should be able to come back again. It's not fair. The producers are big meaty heads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Except they lost their crew because they made an illegal U-turn. So they did something bad. So, you know, and so if you get the whole story, which you do, no, they shouldn't be back. They did something illegal, which caused them to lose their camera people. They have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
So,
in fact,
sorry.
This- this kind of a throwback to an earlier clip, an earlier sort of stipulation in The Amazing Race, not so much nowadays, but if you are driving somewhere by a car, you use the wrong fuel on your car, you are allowed a spare car, but you are not allowed to make up any time.
Correct. Because you blew it.
Okay.
So that's a you problem.
It is definitely a you problem. And next week, we go to a country we've never been before.
Speak for yourself.
Chico's house.
Well, at least The Amazing Race hasn't. It is the Dominican Republic, and we will find out about that next week. But now let us go from the Dominican Republic to Milwaukee and take me out to the ball game, at least the Brewers. And this is, of course, the Sausage Race episode of Top Chef Wisconsin. Chefs had 20 minutes to create dishes that are flambéed. And then the top three, they had to cook charred dishes in 20 minutes. And then they received $20,000 from our corporate sponsor this week, finished dishwashing detergent. And the guest judge was Brian Voltaggio. And the winner was Danny, who got his krill paws with satsuma and habanero sauce, flambe mezcal, and charred branzino with charred poblano puree and charred avocado. Now, the chefs in the elimination challenge competed in a team challenge inspired by Major League Baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers Sausage Race. There are five. Now, can you, without looking, do you know the five racing sausages?
Kielbasa.
That's Poland sauces. That's two, right?
I got nothing.
Bratwurst. Bratwurst, hot dog, and Italian sausage. In five head-to-head matches for the judges and 15 guests at the stadium. The judges voted for their favorite dish, and the first team to score three was safe. And the chef with overall dish was the winner, and that was the yellow team of Amanda, Danny, Kalina, Laura, and Michelle. And Michelle won with etouffee with creamy grits. Okay.
By the way, there is starting to be a definitive clear line here between the haves and have-nots this season.
True. And then Kevin's risotto with Parmesan and motion and fennel, I believe, yes, sent them into Last Chance Kitchen, part two. There was a baseball-themed cook-off. They were allowed to cook up to nine separate dishes, one for each inning, within their allotted 45 time limit. Each dish received a score between 0 and 4. The chef with the most points at the end of the game was declared the winner. Mersica scored one with a rice paillasson. She cooked four dishes and scored 4, 5, 6. Kevin spicked. Cooked five dishes and scored 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. Kevin wins. Rasika is out.
Yeah. And I mean, next, Kevin figured it out correctly. Rasika figured it out wrong, which is, it's all about speed, baby. Go, go, go. Create dishes.
Mm-hmm. And right now, we are next week is our favorite, Restaurant Wars. Woohoo! There we go. But now, and finally to end the first... Oh, no, we need a couple of reviews.
No,
Chico, 30 seconds of the circle. Let's go.
Okay, so we begin where we left off last week with Paul, Caress, and Kyle. That's Paul / Caress and Kyle. Paul chooses to sacrifice herself. Kyle chooses to stay. Before the ratings, it's revealed that the highest rated player and their ride or die will become influencers. They are Corey Tyler and Jordan. They get into it because they have different ideas of who to block. Corey Tyler leaves the influencer chat, leaving Jordan with the unilateral decision of who to block. Jordan decides to block Autumn. Players are no longer tethered to their ride or die. It's a singles game once again. And Miles learns that Jordan has been conspiring against him. The players receive videos from loved ones, yada yada. Players submit their ratings, and the top-rated player will become a super influencer whose identity will remain withheld. Olivia, or Brandon, as her mother calls him, is the secret super influencer, and their decision will come in the finale that we will cover next week.
Okay, now time for a couple of quick reviews, and one you could do very quickly, which is Next Baking Master Paris.
Oh, yes. Just think of it like any other Food Network cooking competition series, except it's in Paris.
The good, production values, yay. The bad, every other competition show you have seen, in one way, shape, or form, makes its way over here, and they play it seriously.
Great. So, C, right?
B minus, but not by much.
I'll give it a C plus, because...
You know what? I'm going to give it a C. Sorry.
I'll give it a C plus, because Paris...
Okay, that's fine. Okay, fine. Now, next one is another really quick one, to be honest.
Yes. It's called OMG Fashion.
Fashion.
Although I'm watching it, admittedly not in the target demo. I'm like, OMG WTF Fashion. Because we have Julia Fox calling all your fashion disruptors to fight against the system and all the gatekeepers in a pursuit of $10,000. It's basically what would happen if Chopped met the unconventional materials challenge of Project Runway and they spent their entire lives watching Legendary on HBO Max. We even have Law Roach as a permanent judge.
This is a show that I think is much more enjoyable when you're on the same substance the contestants are on.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So you go first. What would you rate this?
I would rate it as a B minus because my proclivities aside, it's a show that knows what it wants to be and for the most part does it reasonably well.
All right, you and I are watching a completely different show. C minus, and I'm being real generous here.
Okay.
It's like, what are you doing?
I was like, I'm seeing this more as a sort of a satire of fashion shows. I think the thing is, I'm not taking this at all seriously, and you just might be.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to talk about a show that sort of does the same parody thing but better, GOAT would be that show, not this show.
And we are going to be reviewing that next week, by the way.
What's the GOAT? It's the same thing? Or just a parody?
The GOAT's definitely a show that you need to be on a substance in order to really appreciate and enjoy it. But it's not as awful as I was thinking that it was going to be coming into it.
Okay. Jason, what did you think of OMG WTF BBQ EIEIO Fashion?
I thought the WTF were... Oh, I'm sorry. You talked to Jay.
Sorry. No. Because I'm trying to think of an... Okay.
I think the WTF part was appropriate. C minus.
I'm going to give another three letters. NBD. No big deal. C minus.
All right.
What about you?
I gave mine. It was a B.
B?
I'm seeing this as a satire, and apparently so is everybody else. So it's like, I don't like it, but I get the joke.
Gotcha. Okay.
I get the joke too. That doesn't mean I have to laugh at it.
And it may not be funny. How's that? It may not be funny. Okay.
Fair.
Anyway, that's it for Act One. I have cleaned a super toilet. Well, you know what? We haven't had a flush last week, did we? I don't think we did.
Hey, anything, you know what I always say? Anything worth doing is worth overdoing. So
that's so I got to clean it again no matter what, because it's time for more of Push or Flush. But we need to also do Brain Vision. So, Chico, let's do this.
All the news that you didn't even know you need to know, including a big, big announcement this week with Gordon and Jason. I'm Chico, Sick and Stay, with 5-1. You're home for Wheel Up to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different fashions that Chico will like and Jason and I won't. And like, for instance, the platinum Zydeco shoot.
With the Jean Co jeans that you could fit two legs into one of the legs.
Wait, do you enjoy that, Chico?
No, I'm just, you know, painting a word picture.
I think you enjoy it more than you're admitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I come from the era. What can I say?
Well, okay. What I can say, we'll be back after this.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brain Vision has been sponsored by Sale of the Century, the movie. All one man has is $20, a wealth of knowledge, and a dream to take a trip and a car and an ornate piece of jewelry and a gigantic glass case of money. That guy from The Bear stars. You know the one, that guy.
That guy. Yeah, that guy.
Jeremy Allen White, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we could get Sydney Sweeney to start with him, too, as some sort of, I don't know, off the...
No, she plays the Summer Bartholomew part.
Thank you. See, Hollywood, we have ideas.
Mm. Yes, we'll talk about why... We'll talk about the reference of that later on in Brain Vision, but, Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
For the record, I will watch Sydney Sweeney in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media. Doug Morris Games, Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and Tracks Productions. Listen to Doug Morris every Sunday on Rock 104's Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. That is Sunday afternoons on WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial. And, of course, all over the known
multiverse
on Rock104FM.com, Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 app.
Did you know, by the way, that the original phrase that Gordon... parodies it actually turns 30 years old today.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that Roll That Beautiful Brain Footage is 30 years bean footage is actually 30 years old. However, We got lots to do on the business end.
But
let's go.
Yeah, but first, hey, guess what? Hey, guess what you brought to my attention?
What's that? Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
Andy Cohen, former host of Love Connection, has been cleared of all booze, drugs, and SA allegations as investigators find claims to be unsubstantiated from Deadline. Not only did his late-night talk show, Watch What Happens, get picked up through the end of 2025 and numerous Real Housewives shows that he executive produces land renewals, he's also been cleared of a number of allegations that have been surrounding him. A Bravo spokeswoman tells Deadline, "The outside investigation into the recent allegations made by Brandi Glanville and Leah McSweeney against Andy Cohen have now been completed, and the claims were found to be unsubstantiated."
Okay.
So that means that Andy Cohen can get back to work business as usual.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So moving on. So what is the actual business end?
The actual business end. It's business. It's business time. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time. Okay. It's business time. It's also summertime. And we might even get into a bit of the fall, but let's talk about the summer first. And the summer on ABC, which we always look forward to, is set. This is what it looks like. We have on May 22nd, that is two Wednesdays from today, the season finale of Jeopardy Masters. And then July is going to be busy. July 8th is the season premiere of The Bachelorette. July 9th is Family Feud, A Decades of Laughs. Also followed by the season premiere of Celebrity Family Feud, which I believe tapes at Sony now. The next day, July 10th, is the 25th anniversary season premiere of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? This is
celebrities, not, celebrities only, sadly.
Yeah. So this would be like the third season since its reboot back in 2020. We also have the season premiere of Claim to Fame. That would be the third season as well. And season 6 of Press Your Luck begins July 18th at 8, followed by the premiere of Lucky 13.
I'm at the T-bar for this one. Just saying.
Co-hosted by Shaquille O'Neal and Gina Rodriguez, Lucky 13 is a high-stakes primetime game show that'll have viewers on the edge of their seats while shouting answers at their screens. Of the creative who introduced the world to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Lucky 13 tests contestants' knowledge with 13 true or false trivia questions, but with a cutting twist. Just how well do they know what they know? And just as importantly, how well do they know what they don't know? If they could accurately predict how successfully they've answered 13 questions, they could take home $1 million.
Whee!
And that is what ABC has. Mm-hmm. CBS, it's a little bit more condensed. We have the return of Let's Make a Deal primetime August 7th.
Now, are those new? Do you think they're new episodes or rebroadcast?
They are new episodes. We have Ultimate Zonk Redemption and Otter Chaos, where for the first time, the big deal includes every car featured in the episode.
Oh, damn! Oh, wow! Okay!
But 1 month before, July 17th and July 18th, we have the two-night premiere of season 26 of Big Brother. And you know what that means?
What's that?
The Loser's Lounge couch ready.
Oh, okay. Okay, you think those stains will come out?
You know what? If you could get the kind of cleaners that they use on TikTok with that, you know, the rug cleaners where they purposely put a whole lot of mud on it just to clean it up?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen those guys. They're very good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's file that one under oddly satisfying, but that very is much coming up in the summertime. What's coming up in the mid-May time?
By the way, did we go over the NBC one or no?
NBC, I believe we went over last week.
Okay, but yes. Yeah, so let's go over the date book. Tomorrow, The Goat premieres on Freevee, and the season finale of Next Level Chef happens tomorrow. On Saturday is the Eurovision Song Contest, which is not going to be as fun as it's making out to be due to real-world politics, Gordon, unfortunately. What'd you say?
I said unfortunately.
Yeah. Sunday is the 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing season finale and the American Ninja Warrior Women's Championship special. So then on Monday, we have Summer Baking Championship season premiere on Food Network and the season finales of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune and Deal or No Deal. And then next Wednesday is the season finale of The Amazing Race. But let's talk about Dad Apto. Okay.
So we are taking the voice into the
multiverse. Actually, it's the metaverse, but go on.
Yes. The international format is getting an immersive gaming experience that will accompany the TV singing competition. ITV Studios is working with The Sandbox, that's the virtual gaming world, The Sandbox, on the voice coach battle, which will allow players to act as celebrity coaches and sit in on the show's famous red chairs. As the three we start with the blind audition, as the three contestants perform, a tiger-faced pop singer, a rebellious young female rocker, and an intense, moody alien balladeer. I'm not making this up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Players hit the red button to select.
By the way, where is Hot Guy with Guitar?
That would be the
alien.
Oh, that's
on American Idol. I'm sorry.
That would be the alien.
Okay, fine. Okay.
They then hit their red button to select their artist. They progress through the process, selecting music, wardrobe, and stage lighting, and offering their star advice at each stage. Additionally, players must complete quizzes on the TV show's real-life celebrity coaches. They are aided by four celebrity coaches designed for the platform. Eon B. Rabbit, Kid Flair, Sonalia, and Ingo Amellis. What language is this?
I don't know. I don't know. My head hurts.
By the way, Jason, this might be of interest to you. By winning the voice coach battle, players will also get the chance to win tickets to attend tapings of The Voice in the U.S., France, Germany, Australia, and the U.K.
Okay. Well, I was just it's interesting. I mean, again, I like the way they apps are doing this, but again, that's more of a worldwide thing.
Yeah, you know? It is a worldwide thing. In fact, players can also vote for, of course, their seasons of The Voice as they air in their home countries. And each week they will receive an exclusive NFT they use to cast the vote in The Sandbox, which allows TV brands to create metaverse worlds and can win connected microphones so they can sing along at home. Yeah.
Yippee. That's, you know what, for voice fans, that's kind of smart. This, I'm not so sure if it's smart or if it's whatever.
I'm just going to defer to the gentleman from Jersey for this.
That's dumb.
Okay. So, Gordon, you know of the Met Gala, right?
Of course.
Okay. So, Cardi B was at the Met Gala, and she was interviewed by Emma Chamberlain of Vogue, and she didn't remember who the designer of her dress was, and she said, they were just Asian and everything. Okay. And
yeah, it's not exactly the best cool thing to do if you don't remember your designer is just say, the Asian designer.
Right. And Vogue's former managing director, Gilbert Che, or Chia, gave the gave Cardi B this thing. They responded. Pardon me, I got to get it right. For the record and recognition, and no thanks to Cardi B, the designer of her gown is Sensen Lee, who's Chinese. The gown took 2 months to make. I personally think it's boring and not even on theme, but she chose it and should not have to, and she should have at least remembered his name and not that just he's Asian. Well.
Oh, boy.
Not exact. Okay. That's really, I'll just say offensive. Racist? Not sure. Dumb and offensive? Yeah. Next, you know what I mean? That's the way I see it. Just, it's not exactly the smartest move she could ever make in her life.
No.
No. But I need some British haterade. You got some warm haterade?
Some warm haterade.
Well, yeah, that's how they serve their beer sometimes.
Haterade!
Chica, one of our favorite shows with which is called 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, right? I believe that's what the name of the show is.
It's basically a mashup of the panel show 8 out of 10 Cats and the words and numbers quiz countdown.
Right now they're taking a bit of a break.
They're on a break. A spokeswoman has said, we have already shot episodes which are ready to air. To keep the show current, we will shoot further episodes nearer transmission. They do not, however, have any plans to shoot any episodes for the remainder of 2024. But they will not say when the new episodes will be shot. Now, only one of Channel 4's four major 2023 entertainment launches, this is according to Deadline, by the way, has been recommissioned. That would be Tempting Fortune with Patty McGuinness. The other three, Alone, UK, Rise and Fall, and Scared of the Dark, have all been canceled.
Well, we're going to get a lot of shows that we're going to get a lot of shows that are going to get canceled. A lot of shows are getting canceled due to the fact of post-pandemic realities.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we didn't really talk about it in the business end, but Gordon, there's been multiple offers for Paramount right now.
There has, except if you look at it, they're not all necessarily with the best of intentions. Some of them is even like, well, yeah, we'd love to buy it so we can sell it.
That's right. There was one offer that said that we're going to buy it and then sell off CBS and a bunch of stuff.
That would be right? The Sony Apollo.
Yes.
Seems more like an Apollo move than a Sony move, but whatever.
Whatever, indeed. But I will say that we need to send all these people somewhere. Where are we going?
I don't know if we want to send them to Afghanistan, but here you go.
Right.
All right. John Legend is launching a documentary podcast about a show called Afghan Star. Launched 4 years after the fall of the Taliban, the series searched for talented singers before it was canceled when the Taliban regained power and banned music. John Legend and his team. Sorry.
This is going to be good.
This is going to be really good. John Legend is teamed with iHeart Podcast and Kaleidoscope, which is behind the Last Soviet podcast, on Afghan Star. It will premiere 1 week from tonight, May 15th, as we record this. And it'll be 8 parts. It'll be the story of Afghan's cultural revolution told through the lens of the country's first musical talent show.
Wow. You know what? I love stories like this. I love stories like this because, like, for example, I saw the Bon Jovi documentary on Hulu, and they talked about the peace concert in 88 and 89. that they went over. They went over in Russia before the wall fell, or after. You know, I like stories like that. That's cool. We could find out about the Afghan media pros.
This week's Media Pro Report, Reba McEntire and Melissa Peterman's series is a go at NBC. Congratulations. Katy Perry thinks her mom was fooled by an AI picture of her at the Met Gala. We have to say goodbye to Susan Buckner of Grease fame. She played Patty Simcox. She was also a mob member on One Versus 100. Travis Kelce stars in FX Grotesquerie. Christian Siriano designs Vanna White's dresses. And to bring those two stories together, nobody on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune knows who Travis and Jason Kelce are. Paul Sinha shares a health update. He's in good spirits. NBC hosts an FYC event for the traders. Victoria Gross went into detail about an injury while she was playing on Jeopardy. RuPaul's Drag Race Live Untucked gets renewed. And William Hung, Jaleel White, and Kim Crossman all got married!
Yay!
Not to each other, though.
Well,
from couple to throuple, this fall on Fox. I don't know.
Don't give them ideas.
That is actually a thing, by the way.
Don't give them ideas, okay? Seriously. But who are your pros of the week?
Oh, by the way, did we mention that Joe Manganiello is going to be back on Deal or No Deal Island? I think that's important.
It is. It got renewed for season two. How? I have no idea.
The numbers are good. The ratings are good. Obviously, Boston Rob being and Claudia Jordan being on the show didn't hurt. Boston Rob being at the end also didn't hurt.
You know, somewhere in this Frankenstein's monster of a game show, there's an actual game.
Well, when we do the autopsy on this, maybe next week we'll figure out, okay, this is what we need to do to fix it.
Okay. And all of the following is a list of the runners-up for pros of the week. Alara Teneri of Dated and Related, Britton Byrd of Too Hot to Handle, Brian Constantine of Squid Game The Challenge, Chris Hahn of Dated and Related, Christine Obenor of Too Hot to Handle, Tolu Ekundare of The Trust, Dominique Defoe of Too Hot to Handle, Dom Gabriel of The Bowl, Elise Hutchinson, Harry Jowsey and Holly Scarbone, all of Too Hot to Handle, Izzy Zapata of Love is Blind, Jake Cunningham of The Ultimatum, Jessica Vestal of Love is Blind, Justin Assad of Surviving Paradise, Kaz Bishop of Dated and Related, Melinda Melrose of Too Hot to Handle, Michael Lucier of Love is Blind, Nigel Euro and Steven Ditter of Too Hot to Handle, Trevor Sova of Love is Blind, and Xanthi Panikamatis of The Circle. Got that all in one take.
Okay.
They are your season two cast, The Perfect Match on Netflix, which begins June 7th. But none of them are your pro of the week.
Who's that?
That would be a man by the name of Paul Walter Hauser.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
He is
okay.
Younger than I am, but he is going to be playing a man that's older than Jason.
That's right. And by the way, also it appeared on a couple of episodes of AEW. So a little NAWC crossover here. But he is it was announced, I believe, today or yesterday, that Paul Walter Hauser will be playing Michael Larson in a movie adaptation of the Michael Larson story called Press Your Luck. There was a press photo, and he looked pretty good. He looks like him. Okay.
He does. That could be a dead ringer for the set, dead ringer for Michael Larson. He joins an ensemble cast including Walton Goggins of Fallout, David Strather of Nomadland and Good Night and Good Luck, Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, Haley Bennett from Swallow and the Magnificent Seven, Shamir Anderson of John Wick Chapter 4, David Reisdahl of Oppenheimer, Johnny Knoxville of Jackass, Brian Grady of The Hurt Locker and Chicago PD, Patty Harrison of Theater Camp, and Shanette Renee Wilson of Indiana Jones and Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Now, I have a question, Gordon. If you were doing this movie, how would you script it, or how would you present it? Would you present it as just the game, or the before, beginning, and after?
I think you have to make it before, beginning, and after, not just the game, because the drama actually isn't the game. The drama is everything around it.
Right.
Because, I mean, the Michael Lawson story itself is compelling television. You know, from where he was, and part of it is actually not just the game, but from where he was to where he wound up being, to the fact that, yeah, he won all the money, and then he lost it just as quickly, to the point that he challenged CBS to let him back on the show, and obviously they said no chance to that, to the special that they had with the... the special that they have with the relatives, and then recreating that.
I think the fact that, and I'm going to say, when he goes back Guano crazy afterwards, is more interesting than the game itself, and the fact that the game had to adjust to what happened afterwards. It's going to be very interesting to see how they do this. It's going to be very good.
Of course, now with the advent of computer technology, that would all be a moot issue, but this would be a very entertaining watch, I think.
I agree.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brave Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Here's the button right there. That's right. And then I am going to bring in the toilet, because it's time for Push or Flush right after this from... 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back. Brave Vision News was brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Hockey edition. Hockey edition. The Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes are just storms. They're just storms in the weather. They're just mist.
They're the Stormy Daniels of the NHL playoffs.
What, they suck and blow?
Good night, everybody.
Yes.
That's Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right.
Hey, Jay, go yourself.
And they work overtime to make sure everyone's satisfied at the end.
Yes, and Chico, and they still suck. Sorry.
And Chico. Chico, yes. It's actually go puck yourself. Not
yeah, go puck way. Yourself, exactly. But it's time for another edition of Push or Flush. We have, let me check our list. We would check our list here. We have 9 shows.
9 shows.
And for those who have not heard, we have 5 different ways we like a show. 5 different ways. If we really like it, we push it. If we kind of like it, we pastry it. If we are in the middle, we piggle. If we don't like it, we jiggle the handle. If we really don't like it, we flush it. 3 flushes in the clog. Show number 1 is Chow, May 19th on Food and Max. Chow House, Season 2, The Bell. I did not like the first season of this. It's basically overwrought drama in Italy. I piggle this.
I agree. It's a pickle. I wanted this all. Somewhere along the line, somebody forgot it was all about the food. So yeah, it's a pickle for me.
I'm going one step further down. It's a jiggle for me. Somebody forgot to tell everybody not only is it about the food, it's actually a competition going on here.
There you go. On next one, on May 20th on USA, Race to Survive Season 2. Yeah, this is actually one of the shows that I love because it is a competition show, but it does, the drama is not, at least to me, not manufactured. This is reality at its most realist push.
This is basically what would happen if Survivor and Amazing Race got together, partook in some entertainment, and this is the resultant show. It's a really good show, I think so. It's a push for me.
I think it's a really good show. I'm not as big of a fan as either of you are, and the reason being is that, yeah, it's a combination, but I would like some originality to go with my combination, which I don't see here, pastry.
That's fair.
Okay.
Oh, totally fair. That's fair. Next one. May 22nd on Fox, Hulu, Disney Plus. Disney Plus? Really?
Well, here's the thing. If you have Disney Plus and you have the Hulu bundle, your Hulu button's going to be on Disney Plus.
Fine. Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars Season 2. You know when a show is in trouble when they have to bring in Lisa Vanderpump. I put it to you this way. Not a fan of this change. Piggle.
Jiggle.
I think Piggle is the correct answer. Obviously, they're bringing her in for ratings. I'm going to assume that they're going to make some more changes to the show. So I'm not going to debase the show just quite yet. Not until, you know, they know what they're doing. But, yeah, Piggle.
Okay, next one, May 23rd on Fox, Hulu, and Disney Plus, Season 3 of Don't Forget the Lyrics with Niecy Nash, right, I believe? Correct?
Correct. I could watch this all day. It's a push for me. I love this show. I really do.
Okay.
I love what they do with it.
Put it to you this way. It is a light, artificially flavored, but absolutely very entertaining push for me, too.
No, it's not for me. I liked it better when Wayne did it. I like the show. I don't love it. Pastry.
That's fair, too? Okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
I am just Mr. Hard to Please.
Hold on. Let's tell what's next, all right?
On May 23rd, on Prime Video and Fox, the debut of The 1% Club with Patton Oswalt as host. This one intrigues me because I think the format is going to work here. And I'm not going to push it, but this is a very hard pastry. This is right on the edge of pushing it.
Let me tell you something. If you've watched a few of the UK or Australian episodes, you have a feeling of what this show is all about. This isn't one of those quiz shows that tests what you know. It tests how you think. And I think you're going to end up entertained. I think you're going to end up surprised. You just might even surprise yourself. I'm giving it a big push.
I've seen a couple of episodes of this, but I've not seen the American version of this show. I have seen a couple of versions of it. I'm hoping the United States doesn't do what they usually do with burn versions of this show and yuck it up. So, pastry gun.
Yeah, so, and by the way, I'll take the heat. The word is dumb it down. That's what you want it to. You don't want it to dumb it down. Next one. May 24th on CBS and Paramount Plus's Lingo Season 2. RuPaul is back. Oh, I really want... I'm sorry, the show is not as good as it, you know, as the original versions. There is the mucking up part. Gordon, you, this is an example of a show mucking stuff up. Pastry, but barreling.
I agree.
It's not pastry. Getting a pastry from me. It's going down pickle.
Okay. Well, all right. Okay. Well, Chico, why?
You said it's I'm sorry.
No, Chico, I just wanted to know why you gave it that grade.
I think, well, when I first saw it in season one, it's something about, you know, just having it be Wordle on television instead of the whole bingo element. Something just lost on me. I mean, it's still an entertaining show, but it's not as entertaining as previous versions.
Okay. All right, next one. Also on May 24th on Roku, The Great American Baking Show. Did they solve all the problems? No, so I am going to piggle this, sadly.
I like this show. I like this show. I'm going to go ahead and pastry it. I see what I think.
Okay.
It's a cooking show, piggle.
Yeah, all right. Next one, May 26th on Vice, Season 8 of High Stakes Poker. I hate to say this, I think the poker shows have lost a little bit of their luster. They're sort of a relic of the early 2000s when online gambling was not just, you know, daily fantasy bets and actually had to play poker online. I got to jiggle this, and that's sad for me.
I also have to jiggle this because you don't really watch this for the competition. You watch it for the drama. This is the sort of show that there's like a drama show, but there's a poker game built around it in later seasons. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jay.
This is missing something. I'm not going to jiggle it, but it's getting pickled by me. It's missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey!
So I don't know what it is, but it's missing something.
And finally.
Oh, yes. On May 28th, season 19 of America's Got Talent. Oh, I am going to flush this as hard as I can. America's Got Talent has become a parody of itself. It means nothing anymore. Is it entertaining? Yeah. But does it mean stuff? No. Flush.
Yes, it is it is entertaining television. It's turn off your brain television. It's try not to think too much or too hard about it and just go ahead and come along for the ride. And for that reason, I'm giving it a piggle.
Wow. Okay.
Lo, how the mighty have fallen. Did you notice that?
Here's my issue with the show. It's turned into, we have talent from around the world that has done stuff in other variations of the show, and we're bringing them into play here. That's what it feels like to me. Yes, it's entertaining, but it almost feels like, hey, America, we've sort of lost our talent, which is why we're finding it in other places. I mean, granted, you do need hundreds of acts to make this show, so it's not the easiest thing in the world, but if the best that we have in America is Seth Ward, then, I'm going to split the difference. Jiggle.
Okay.
All right, fine. So next week, how many shows do we have?
Let's just take a look at the list here. I'm guessing another 8 or 9 should stay this for another week.
Okay, cool.
But in the meantime, please listen to this as we get ready for the speed rounds. This is We Love to Order Up 5-in-1 production. Let's go.
Run.
WLTI has been brought to you by the original Deal or No Deal Island, the Diamond Head Game.
That's oh, my
right.
God.
Before we had suitcases, we had wallets, we had purses. Just avoid the $1 bill. And since Foster Bob is unavailable, Sandra Diaz Twinehouse. It's the Diamond Head Game Island. The true queen. Just saying.
Oh,
I'm
my
just thinking
God.
To myself, the Diamond Head Game, that took place on an island. So.
Yes, it did.
Hawaii.
Yes, it did. God, you know, I realize, you know, I love that game, but then I watch it and I'm going, why did I love that game so much? Don't know.
You were young and naive, Jay.
Yeah, well, now I'm just old and stupid, right? I know.
Hey,
I didn't say.
Do you hear me say anything, Jason Block?
Not at all. Speed round. Let's start it now. Jeopardy Masters. By the end of games 4, 5, and 6, episodes 4, 5, and 6, who are we going to see in the top 3?
I'm beginning to see, like, a clear divide between the top and the bottom. And on top, you have Victoria, Yogesh, and James, and I think that's going to hold off.
Yes, and I think that's where it's going to go to, and I think that's where the final is going to be.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, Survivor. Who's next on the hit parade?
If I'm Kelsey, I need to be very concerned. And if I find an idol, I need to use it.
Kenzie,
not Kelsey.
I'm sorry, Kenzie. Yes. Same person.
I think Maria could go to the end, really, at the moment right now.
I think Marie and Charlie right now are holding all the cards.
Yeah,
and Charlie's getting more and more dangerous. If Charlie gets to the end, he's going to win.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing Race, does our number one couple still dominate?
I think our number one couple still dominates. It's been the Ricky and Caesar show all season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Yvonne and Melissa show.
Not, probably not, because they're in, they're in fourth. Rod and Letitia are fifth. Be careful with them, because remember, we're getting to the point right now where we're heading to our final stops on the road. Regular Jeopardy, still Wheel of Champions for
about
half a second?
I think it's still Wheel of Champions, yes.
Okay.
Wheel of Fortune, $1 million winner, right?
No, but we're getting close to the 8,000th episode, if I'm not mistaken. Being broadcast very soon. We're down to the final month of the Pat Sajak era, though.
Wow, that's gonna be
crazy, right?
And speaking of crazy, hey, guess what?
No mail.
No mail, but we have somebody who addressed us on their Facebook.
Oh, cool. Oh, let's hear this.
All right. This is in response to a post we had about May 7th, what was going on, the three rounds we like to do every day, Eurovision 2024, Password, and Tom Bergeron's birthday. And Stephen Buis, self-appointed ombuds of the podcast, says, in case you missed it, Celebrity Wheel revealed the one person in America who hadn't heard of Travis Kelce.
Yeah, well, some people don't know who he is. You know, put it to you this way. It happens. I bet you there are certain people who have no idea who Taylor Swift is.
Who?
I'm serious. Yeah. But if we want more comments about that and more mail, where do we go with that?
You can email us at WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. You can send us a DM at all of our social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
Excuse me. I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I am GSN and Haterade.
And, of course, the network is at 5&1 net. That's 5 ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything, and you're going to want to pay close attention to the coming weeks because Jay, you, me, and V are A, going to have a laugh at my expense when the Hurricanes are swept in the Stanley Cup, and yep. B, we're going to talk about schedule releases next week on the VS Big Show.
That's right, because I believe a week from Thursday, we are doing a special episode about the release of the full NFL schedule, which happens on the 15th of May, believe it or not. How are we doing this already that we're talking about full fall football in the summertime when the baseball is going on and the hockey is going on? But yes, we're going to be talking about the schedules.
Breathe,
and of
man.
Course,
breathe.
Yes, and of course, we're going to talk about, I believe they're going to announce all the Sunday night football, Thursday night football, Monday night football.
Who's getting what games when and where, you know?
Yeah, that type of thing. Exactly. And we will see, you know, who's going to open. I mean, are we going to get a rematch of Kansas City, San Francisco? Could be. Don't know.
Possibly.
We'll talk about that. We'll get to, and also, Gordon, I just noticed something. Battle Bowl is in not one, but two locations this year.
We got a Northeast Battle Bowl and a Southeast Battle Bowl.
Okay.
And the Southeast one is in Texas.
That's right, San Antonio, and the Northeast is in Newcastle, Delaware. That is, I believe, the weekend of August 9th to 11th. But what else is going on in the more recent, in the more local time?
Not a lot going on this weekend, but we're in the middle of processing who is getting in and who's getting out of the playoffs.
And, of course, ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Now, and, of course, over on the NAWC, we are heading towards Double or Nothing and the Queen and King of the Ring in Saudi Arabia with the news this week that I believe that the WWE and Endeavor, we can talk about that now, is going to expand their deal with the Saudis, rumored to have one of the big four pay-per-views in Saudi as well. And they announced, I believe it was last week after the show was over, actually at the Kentucky Derby, that I have three words for you, Chico. Vegas, baby. Vegas. As in the 41st edition of WrestleMania will be at Allegiant Stadium and it's going to be 2 weeks later, April 19th and 20th, I believe the dates are, right? I think that's correct.
Yep, and that's going to be the hottest ticket in town. Start saving your nickels, my friends. Start saving your nickels. Let's talk about what's going on. It was a thing on TV. Mike, Greg, and I have just kicked off our fourth annual pilot month with two interesting pilots. First one is because, you know, they have the cartoon of Teddy Ruxpin. It was almost a live action puppet show.
Oh, good grief.
And then UPN celebrated the 50th anniversary of Ed Sullivan by turning him into a CGI caricature and having him host a revival of sorts. So those were your two first pilots of 2024, The Adventures of Teddy Ruxpin and The Virtual Ed Sullivan Show.
And that would be close. You're still getting close to 100,000 downloads and, you know, congratulations, 630 episodes almost. Very good.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Chico, what's happening as we continue May Sweeps next week?
Okay, next week we continue talking about Jeopardy Masters. We crown a winner of Deal or No Deal Island. We talk about Survivor, Amazing Race, Top Chef, and we review The Goat on Freebie and also the toilet. We still have yet to flush it.
The Toilet Returns Part 3.
The Toilet Awakens.
Ew, we don't want that. Not at all.
Remember, if your toilet awakens, call a professional.
Exactly.
But
so,
time for take us Gordon home. Pepper, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for all the fine men and women behind 5 and 1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Good night.
Interrupt.